I want to, for a few minutes this morning, so I'll take some scripture instead of out of the New Testament, out of the Old Testament. And it's some scripture that, as I thought about it, is almost unbelievable. And if it's not unbelievable, it certainly is. Will be difficult for us to comprehend, as it was for the people in that day, and especially the old prophet. But it's probably no more difficult to comprehend what happened in this particular portion of the Word of the Lord than it is for us to comprehend what's going to happen in the future. In the next service that I have here, I'm going to talk a little more about that, as to what's going to happen in the future. But let's just set this thing in its proper setting. The final prophet of the Lord, Ezekiel. The Lord had appeared unto him originally and had spoken unto him and said that, "I'm going to send you down to the people, and I want you to go down there to my people, Israel, and I want you to speak unto them. And when you begin, you start out by always saying, 'Thus saith the Lord God.'" That's the way I want you to start every message, that they'll know that it is from the Lord. I've said a number of times that for any preacher that needs the text, and I was kidding with Dan as he came up this morning, I said, "You going to preach for me this morning?" And he said, "No." And I said, "I'll tell you what, you preach for me, I'll give you a text." And the text I usually give to a guy whenever that I'm kidding with him about that is right out of the scripture, but it's not the one I was going to give Dan this morning. The text that I normally would say to a preacher like that is, you get up there and you preach, "It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a wide house with a brawling woman." And so far, I've never had a preacher take me up on that, though that's right in the Word. But Dan, I would have given you, "Thus saith the Lord." That would have been the text that I would have given you this morning. And that's a good text for anyone to use. It's a good text for any preacher to preach. And that I truly believe that we need to preach what thus saith the Lord. That's what people want to hear. Sometimes we get into big discussions about that as to whether that's really what people are wanting. I truly believe that that's whether they want it, that's what they need, is what thus saith the Lord. Now, sometimes we like to be stroked a little bit, and we like to be bragged on a little bit, and we like to have our feelings made comfortable. But once in a while, the Word of the Lord, which it teaches, is sharper than any two-edged sword, cuts a little bit. And sometimes we need that. But anyway, Ezekiel, after the Lord had spoken unto him, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord picked him up and carried him away to these people. And he went down there and he began to speak to them, and he spoke to them a number of times and delivered a number of messages unto them. But in this morning's scripture that I want to use, it's a little different. "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." Now, I'm reading out of the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. The Spirit of the Lord picks Ezekiel up and carries him out here and sets him down in the midst of a valley of dry bones. Now, there's a lot of them out here. There are not just a few, and it's just not one little heap, but it's a valley full of dry bones. And Ezekiel said, "After that the Spirit had taken me out there and set me down amidst these bones, I walked around among them. And these bones were extremely dry." In effect, they had been there for a long time. Now, we're not told how come these bones to be here, whether there'd been a great battle, which is probably immaterial into what the Lord was wanting Ezekiel to understand. But he was out here, and as he looked and he beheld this scene, he identified that these bones obviously had been there for some time. They had already bleached out. They had already dried out. Now, as morbid as it may sound, we need to understand that we have a lot of places today, and I visit them way too often, where that we take the bodies of people and we place them back in the ground. We don't want to see those bones. We don't want to see that decaying and that deterioration of the body until it's gone, until those bones are nothing excepting just that, bones. And they're there for many, many, many ages. But I can assure you this morning that every single one of us, one of these days, is going to experience that same faith, that these bodies are going to go back to the dust of the earth from whence they came. Spirit's going to go back to God who gave it. And as those bodies are there, and as much as we try to prevent that decaying process and all the hoopla that we go to, it's going to happen, folks. I'm going to tell you. It's going to happen. It has already happened. And there are thousands and probably millions of bodies that are already in the city of the dead that are there, and it's going to change one of these days. Now, when Ezekiel looked at these, he said unto me, this is the Lord speaking, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, thou knowest." The Lord said to Ezekiel, he said, "Can these bones live again?" Now, as difficult as it is for you to comprehend this morning, they are going to live again. Those who are out there in the city of the dead, those bones are going to come to life again. Now, I know that many of you have got this idea that heaven is just going to be all spiritual and we're going to float around and fly around. Well, we may float around and fly around, but we're going to have a body. Now, that's according to the word of the Lord. And it's going to be a physical body. The Lord, after he was resurrected, he had to demonstrate to the disciples that he was for real. He possessed greater capabilities than he had had while he was here on the earth in the form of man, because he was able to do some things that he had never demonstrated to them before. Now, he's always had the ability to do whatever he chooses, but he had not always done some of the things. So he did take the time to prove to them that he truly was alive, and that he did have a body, and that it was a physical body. And so whenever that we begin to talk about the resurrection, and when we begin to think about that morning, whenever that the ladies went there to the tomb, and whenever the disciples ran down there, they were seeing something that they did not believe could possibly happen. In spite of the fact that the Lord had told them that this was going to happen, they still had not believed it. The Bible, and we always speak about doubting Thomas, but Thomas was not the only one who doubted. All the other disciples doubted too. They all did. The Bible teaches that. I'm going to take the time to go back over there and prove all these things to you, but just you can go back and that's kind of a little homework for you. I give homework once in a while. You kids, you know, I know you get into trouble sometimes with homework with moms and dads and everything, and if you don't get it done, well, I've got a lot of people that ought to be in trouble a lot of times. They don't do the homework that I give them either. I know that. I know. I'd get up here and tell them this is your homework to do, and I know about I'll be nice and give them 75% of them don't do it. You know, now, everybody's going to believe they're in the 25% that does, but I know better. But anyway, the Bible very clearly teaches that these disciples of the Lord, those men who had been with him, they just could not believe that he was going to be resurrected. And when they went, the women ran down there and told them, when they was down there having that prayer meeting, and they was praying, you know, the Lord only knows what they were praying for, because they had just been so disrupted with their lives. But when they said, you know, he's not there, they said, I don't believe it. I said, well, come and see, you know, come and see for yourself. Let me tell you, in spite of the fact that there are a lot of people who don't believe what I'm standing here preaching this morning, one of these days, those bones are going to live again. I guarantee you that by the word of the Lord. And someone's going to say, well, now how about all of those that we don't know where they are? And saying, well, you don't worry about that. God is big enough to take care of that. And he will take care of it. See, God is so much bigger than we are and so much more powerful than we are. And we can't even figure these things out. I don't make any pretense this morning. I cannot tell you everything that's going to happen. I'm going to tell a little later this morning, according to the word of the Lord, some things that are going to happen. Now, I'm not trying to just set you up here for the next service, but I think you can understand I can't get it all covered in one, and I won't get it all covered in two. I couldn't cover it all in 20. But the word of the Lord very clearly teaches these things. And so the Lord said to Ezekiel, can these bones live again? And you know what Ezekiel said? He said, you're the only one who knows that, Lord. You're the one that knows that. Well, God knows everything. God knows everything. Knows everything about every single one of us that are here this morning. And again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones. Ezekiel, I want you to do something. You speak unto these bones. Now, I preach, and our preachers today, we many times are preaching to the dead. We're preaching the dead, not those who are dead physically, but those who are dead spiritually. And we have a responsibility to stand and to preach and to say, thus saith the Lord, that they might live again. They might be made alive. Anyway, the Lord said unto him, you prophesy and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Valley full of bones out here, far as I could see, bleached out, dried out, sun-drenched bones, scattered all over everywhere. They were all in one little neat pile, and every one of the bodies were not joined together. These were scattered. I'm always amazed and intrigued sometimes, and I've done some studying of our people who go and dig up these bones, and they put them all back together. And we've made such tremendous scientific discoveries. And we've got such great things going, only to find out later that we didn't have the right bones with the right body. But we've preached, we've passed it off as gospel. It's fact. I want you to know this morning. We've learned how, you know, we can date man by the bones, you know. There's a scientific method to do all of this. And we figured out just exactly how many millions of years that man has been here and how long each one of these periods of time going back all the way to the beginning was. So, you know, whenever the beginning was. Well, you know, it'd be a lot simpler if they just take this book right here and quit trying to come up with how many billions of years it's been. I'm not disputing that. I'd be ignorant if I was to stand up here this morning and tell you that, well, I believe that because my Bible over here says that God created the heavens and the earth, and I think it's about... well, let's see. I used to think it said 4,000. Maybe this one doesn't even say that long ago. I got to get my glasses on the scene. I'm getting sidetracked here a little bit. Yeah, 4,004. I thought I had it right. Now I've lost my place over here. Anyway, you know, we get sometimes to the point to where that we're so caught up with these things and so gullible that we'll just believe what anybody gets up and tells you. I don't want you to just believe everything I say. I want you to take the word of the Lord, and I want you to go back and read and study some of these things. And so The Lord has Ezekiel to prophesy, to speak unto these bones. And the Lord said, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cause bone to come back to bone. In other words, I'm going to bring those bodies back together. Now, if you think that's impossible for the Lord to do that, let me just give you something to maybe put this in perspective. How many of you here this morning know how many hairs there are on your head? Not a single one of you do. No, even the baldest of us here can't even tell how many we've got. And every single one of us may have lost another one or two between here and home this morning. You don't know. But God, the Bible says, knows the very hairs of our head. That's how big God is. I mean, So then why do we think it might be impossible for him to take them and bring these bones back together? He's going to bring them back together. He's going to take those bones out of the graves that are out here and bring them back together and make those bodies again. Because I'm going to have a physical body as well as a spiritual body when I've finished this life. And the Lord finally says, some of you are not.
You're looking at me like you don't believe me. I don't care whether you believe me or not. I'm just telling what the Lord said. And it won't make any difference what you do to this body between now and the time that he puts it back together. No. My kids know. Ben's here this morning. I appreciate him being here. But my kids know that whenever this old body is ready to leave here, when the spirit goes back to God, take her down here and put her in the crematorium, and that'll be it. But I'm going to tell you something. The Lord's going to know every little speck. When it comes time to put me back together, and he'll do it. Yeah. And I'll have a body, a physical body. I hope it's better looking. I really do. I don't know what it's going to look like, Linda, but I hope it's better looking. It'll be perfect, I know that. Yeah, however it looks. But the Bible says we'll be known as we are known. So I guess it's going to have to look like this for you to know me. Well, anyway, so Ezekiel, I will lace in you and I will bring all of these back together. So Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. I want you to know that when the resurrection finally comes, there's going to be a shaking like you've never seen or heard of before. I've been in some pretty good shakes. I've been in probably one of the largest ones that's been in Southern California in many, many years. I've been in one of Northern California when we're there. And let me tell you, it's an experience when the old earth begins to shake and begins to move. But it isn't anything in comparison to what's going to happen one of these days whenever that God Almighty is going to look down and say, it's enough. It's enough. Go get them. And the graves are going to be open. The bodies are going to come forth. Not all of them. Not all of them. Oh, listen, people. We've got such crazy ideas today. Now, you're thinking about that one, aren't you? You should be. But let me tell you, it's going to be a time like we have never known before. Well, Ezekiel said there was a noise and there was a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Remember what when God created man the first time? Place him out there in the garden. The Bible says that he then breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
Lord, we've got people who are just so up in the air about all of these things today, about when life begins with the individual and everything. Let me tell you, there's going to be some people who are going to be wrong, because it can't be both ways. Can't be both ways. But I will tell you exactly when that life begins, when the Lord breathes into them the breath of life. Now, that doesn't help you much, does it? Well, I'm just telling you what the Word of the Lord says. And the rest of it, we're all going to fuss and fight about until we finally find out for sure when the Lord lets us know. And He is going to let us know as long as we're down here, because everybody's right and half are wrong. The Bible says that the bones came together and flesh came upon them. Ezekiel had been told to speak to them. And they came together, but Ezekiel said when they came together and the bodies were made again, there was no breath in them. They weren't alive. And then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Ezekiel, you prophesy. Why, the Lord didn't need Ezekiel there any more than he needs us today. We've got this crazy idea the Lord can't get along without us down here. Oh, Lord, you know, I've got to be a witness for you, and I've got to do this and do that. You know what he could do without any one of us? He always has. He always will. When you get to the point to where you think you're indispensable, that's probably when you're no good at all to the Lord. We used to always have that saying when I was working in the business world. You got an employee that's indispensable, get rid of them. You don't need them. And there's a lot of truth in that. The Lord doesn't need us. We need Him. We need Him. But the Lord does take and use us. And He took Ezekiel and He said, Ezekiel, you prophesy. You say, thus saith the Lord, and you speak to the winds, and the winds came and breath came into these people, and they were alive, a great company of them. There's going to be a company one of these days greater than we can ever imagine that's going to be alive and be alive forevermore.
We sing a song. It's a relatively new song. He's alive. We think he lives, and I think maybe, I don't know if we sing that. Is that what we're closing with tonight? Yeah, okay. Okay, well, I don't want to get ahead of us here. But I'm about ready for you anyway, because I'm about finished. Let me tell you this morning. As difficult as that scripture may be, and I want you to go back and read it again, 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Go back and read it, and you'll see some things that I didn't even bring out here this morning. But let me tell you this. As difficult as it is for us to comprehend this, it is almost that incomprehensible for us to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive, that He arose from the grave, and that He is alive forevermore. We act like He's not. We don't act like He's alive and that He's here with us. We just go on. We just have our little spats and our little fusses and our ups and our downs and our ins and our outs. And we leave Him out 3/4 of the time like He's way off up here somewhere. Let me tell you what. I was telling Linda before the service, I said I had a little time with Him this morning as I was coming up here. And I have to admit that, you know, after a couple of times I couldn't hardly see the road. But that's all right. He's not way off up there. He's down in here. And He does live. And He should live in every one of our hearts. Every one of us should know that. We should be able to feel Him alive today. Not just talk about it. Not just sing about it. Not just think of it on Easter morning, whenever that we sing. He is alive. Because He truly is. As difficult as that is sometimes for us to comprehend. And as difficult as it is to believe, one of these days, He's going to speak unto those bones, and they're going to come forth from the grave, and they're going to be alive forevermore.